Welcome to the EchoCast episode 135. We're calling this one deflating, and we will talk about that. No, it's not because I'm a Tom Brady fan. This is a podcast about the division, its community, news, speculation, and updates about the franchise. I am Bond Diesel. I do division stuff such as this podcast, Twitch streams, supposedly, and YouTube videos. Please take a moment to subscribe and to rate the podcast on whatever platform you listen to it on. If you are on YouTube, please leave a comment of some type. It helps with the algorithm. It gets me noticed. I appreciate it. This episode, we will not be talking about state of the game because, once again, we did not have one. We'll talk about the Season 4 finale phase mission specifically, more Division 2 content confirmed, maybe. And what could have happened and what I think is going to happen and more. I want to thank this month's Patreon supporters, Hassan, Christian, Darren, Tim, PK, Ron, and Manmade Golf. No more ads on this podcast, so if you would please support on Patreon, I would very much appreciate it. And I will happily take suggestions on ways to be more interactive or to earn your support more. If you want to support, check out patreon.com/bonddiesel. Well, another podcast and another State of the Game recap that doesn't happen because we aren't getting another one somehow. I went over it and I ranted about it last week, so I won't spend too much time on it this time. I really felt like after the news about Star Wars, they really needed to say something, and they didn't. Then, 12.1 came out, which was a relatively substantial patch, and we got a reply on Twitter as our really only official statement. We have this interesting finale to Season 4 that addresses, the second biggest character in the game, which we will talk about, and there will be spoilers. I am going to talk about the final mission. It's out and we can talk about it now. We got a statement that Massive is a big studio and we should expect more Division 2 content in 2021 and 2022, whatever that means. And we still don't have a state of the game. So they're in kind of a damned if they do or don't situation. I get it. If they do a state of the game, but they aren't allowed to tell us a whole lot yet, it only makes people angrier. So if they don't do one until they do have, full clearance or the ability to say what's going on, people are going to be annoyed until it happens. But there is a way to not be damned if you do or don't. And it's to do a state of the game and to just be transparent and just tell us what's going on or what isn't going on. That's important too. Bad news is better than no news, even though it may not seem like it at first. It's just my opinion, of course. So no state of the game, nothing to talk about. Something I posted on Twitter though, is that I love Hamish. Yannick is great. Johan and the rest of the crew, they're all incredible. We don't need to hear from them. I'm happy to. If that's who we hear from, then great. They're awesome. Awesome. But who we need to hear from is who replaced Julian. Who's steering the ship at this point? I understand the team is probably much smaller than it once was, but they're still a team, which means they're still a leader. And it means that someone in some capacity has taken over for Julian and needs to come on and talk about what's going on and what isn't, like I said before. It's weird. Like, literally at this point, I don't know any developers working on Division 2. I consider myself pretty well connected with this game. I have a few ideas. It seems like there's still a few devs that are interacting in some capacity with Division 2 content. I don't want to call them out because they probably aren't working on Division 2, but we don't know who's working on it. Is Trick still on it? I hope so. We know McKenzie's not, because apparently McKenzie left and is working for a whole nother studio back here in the States now. Because 1 week McKenzie was working on the Summit, and then I look at his Twitter and he's gone. So who just the next day of the game needs to have whoever replaced Julian, and they need to sit down and say, hey, we know it's been kind of weird. We hear your critiques on maybe, hopefully, the Feilau manhunt. Here's what's going on. Here's what we've been doing. And here's what we are going to do with who. Okay, so I'm going to skip gaming news. This may end up being a shorter show or not, because I may be ranting. We'll just see how it plays out. First, I'm going to talk about some Division 2 stuff, and the first thing being the Cersei manhunt. It was fine. I mean, it's no better or worse than the other ones. Now, Magnus was awful. That was the worst individual manhunt target I think that we've had to deal with. The comms were pointless, and it was just really cringy. Cersei was fine. If you don't remember, Cersei was the one that recruited Faye. It's the one that Faye was interrogating during the Warlords comms, and subsequently we find that Cersei's the one who recruited Faye to Black Tusk, though there's more to that. We'll talk about that next or shortly. So I mean, it was a fairly unremarkable set of comms. I thought the most interesting part of it is the very not very well hidden and very suggestive flirting that happens between them, which is dope. Good for them. But yeah, the final fight was whatever. It's just the same. It's just the bounty. I mean, just like all of these have been, which I definitely have some thoughts on. Now that year two essentially is wrapped up. So moving on to Faye's mission, and this has been, if you pay attention to social media at all, you'll know that this is quite the topic of discussion here at the moment. So real talk, the mission is fine. The actual mission, the mission you play through is okay. I like Camp White Oak a lot. I like the regular version, the invaded version, and now this new Manhunt version. They're okay. But it's just okay. Most of the other, you know, the first Manhunt mission had the EMP mechanic. The second one had the gas mechanic. The third one had the Hunter thrown in, which was so cool. And it's probably my favorite one, gameplay-wise, in hindsight. And it was short, which was kind of cool, too. And then this fourth one, the mechanic is the shade tech. Like when you fight Keener, I've seen people compare the Keener mission to this. I don't think that's real. I mean, it's not. It's very different. But that it's a bummer that the twist or the mechanic they decided to throw in was just when you get near these shade boxes, they'll put up a turret that you'll kill before it even gets to shoot you. I don't get it. Whatever. It was fine. I played on challenging. The first lieutenant that you fight, like the name boss that you fight before the main fight, was like super easy. I don't even know if he got to fire in the two or three runs I did to get all the comms. But okay. So then you find so what's going on here is that Faye has arranged a meeting with Ellis, who is still the acting president officially. You find that over comms that Faye is meeting with Ellis, has lured him there essentially. And then when you get close to the first cabin, she talks to you directly and says, hey, you know, I know you're always listening but never talking. You can let me go. I just killed Ellis. Which is like, oh, wow. Okay. Well, that's quite the development. This was revealed and spoiled in the, back when, all of the Manhunt stuff was, data mined. So I've known about this for a while. The information wasn't 100%, so I wasn't really 100% sure how this was going to end, but I did know this detail. So Kelso says, "Oh, she's lost her mind. You have to keep going after her and kill her." And she still antagonizes you. Once you continue going after her, she announces to all the Black Tusk that, "Hey, you know, the agents just killed Ellis. I'm getting out of here." Which if you think about it, we've talked about this in spoiler episodes, that the agents killing the president is them killing their boss and essentially all going rogue. So it seems like after we don't stop pursuing her, she decides to try to tank at least us specifically, and maybe all of the current Shade agents. However many there are, we really don't know. So then we pursue her to the final area. She tries to escape on the, I think it's a Sikorsky helicopter. It's the helicopter the president uses. It's pretty iconic. It's a very old body design, even though I highly suspect the modern helicopter is essentially a hyper modern helicopter with an old school wrap around it. And you basically shoot the helicopter until it can't take off, and then she gets out and fights you, and then you just kill her. She throws out some voice comms. My first fight with her went on for a while. I did it solo, and she voice comms at you here and there, and basically, you know, saying that you could have picked a different whatever, you know. And then you kill her and it's over. There are four voice comms that you get out of it. The first one is her talking and essentially asking for the meeting with Ellis. The second one is her talking to Schaefer. I presume this is before he's captured. And then the third and fourth one just really drive me nuts. The third and fourth one are her apologizing to our dudes back in New York. And what's so frustrating about it is that in one of them, she reveals this grand plan that she let Cersei recruit her, and she got in with Schaefer, and she went to the Black Tusk just to kill Ellis, which is fine. Okay. Neat. You know, she was a mole. She got in there. She knew we had to take down Ellis, so whoever was next in succession could take over officially. And she could blame it on Black Tusk or whatever, right? But then we kill her. And then the fourth one is just an apology. But this third one makes me just want to shove my fingertips through my temples, because it sets up this situation where she killed Ellis. And then, so the way this mission should have gone is that we should have discovered Ellis's body. She would be in the room saying, putting her hands up saying, "Hey, I'm on your side. I had to get in here. I had to do what I did to kill him, because this is going to make things better for the division and for the Shade agents. Now that he's gone, the next person up, whoever it is, won't be corrupt, hopefully," and so on. And then you have that scene from, and excuse my French if you're listening, I'm about to cuss. Then you have that scene from the fucking trailer for season 4 where your agent walks up to her and punches her in the mouth, and she's got her hands up like she's surrendering. Like, there's every reason to believe that at least at one point, it seems like this mission was supposed to be her surrendering to us and being like, "Hey guys, I'm on your side. I was a mole. I did this for us." And then what would have happened is we would have helped her escape. We could have fought that final part of the mission. Could have been us fighting with Fei Lao on that helicopter pad in that last area against some like super Black Tusk special unit sent by Sokolova, because we killed her brother. And now, you know, Fei was a traitor to them. She used them. And now we get to fight with fucking Fei Lao. How cool would that be? And then the story is no different than it is right now, because instead we killed her for reasons, and we're in the same spot that we would have been if she was alive. We know that we know, quote unquote, that she wasn't a traitor. She was actually just trying to help, but then still fought us for some reason. I don't understand that. And now we're in the same spot as we were before. So there were two routes they could have gone other than the one that they did go. The route they did go was we found out she was actually a traitor to Black Tusk, but then we still killed her for reasons. The two other routes we could have gone, which would have made way more sense, at least in my opinion, is the easiest route that would have ended us in the same spot anyways and left everything completely wide open by us letting her live, punching her in the face like in the cinematic, then fighting with her once we realized what the deal was, and Kelsa says, I don't know if we should trust her, but you gotta get out of there. There's a giant special Black Tusk special unit coming, and there could have been some like new enemy or something introduced. I don't know. And then we'd be where we are exactly right now. And they wouldn't even need like some like cinematic like everyone's mad about, because we kill her and then it's just over. There's no pomp and circumstance. There's nothing. So they could have done it where we helped her escape after her betrayal of Black Tusk and killing Ellis, or she's mad that we're still pursuing her, which makes no sense. And she, because what's happened is, I was speculating for a long time once I knew these details, that she was going to broadcast to like the entire world that the Shade Agents killed Ellis. And it was going to turn all of the agents rogue. And that was going to be like the twist for Division 3, which we now have to assume isn't coming for a really long time, or for like a Season 5 or Year 3, whatever the hell it's going to be. Because there will be something, which we'll talk about in a moment. I just don't, there was like three options they could have gone. Obviously, there's like hundreds of options, but there's three in my head that made the most sense. Well, there's two that made sense, and then there's one that happened. She kills Ellis. We find out in voice comms that she never actually was a traitor to Shade. And then we kill her, which is what happened. The other option is she kills Ellis, surrenders to us, admits what was going on, and clarifies, and then we fight with her to get out, and we end up in the same place we are. Or she kills Ellis, we continue to pursue her, she tells everyone in the world that we killed Ellis, and turns us all rogue, and then they can go on with that. I don't understand how the option they went, it doesn't make sense. Like, it doesn't make sense, because now we've killed someone who we know from voice comms in hindsight was still on our side. Why did we kill her? Why did it work out like that? It could have worked out literally any other way. I'm so annoyed. And what I'm annoyed about is that I can't help but feel like someone at some point, probably a long time ago, made that little cinematic moment in the trailer for Season 4 where your agent is walking up to her and going to punch her and she has her hands up. I'm reluctantly speculating that whatever that would have taken to make that happen in the game, in this mission, they just didn't have the resources for it, and it was way easier to just have us fight her. And then that's what happens. It feels like they just didn't take the time or effort to do what was in the trailer. Because that moment in the trailer never happens. That moment never happens. In that trailer, there's this moment where you and Faye, your character and Faye, are facing off, and your character is going up to sock her in the mouth, and then it cuts out. I'll post it on Twitter if you don't remember it. But like, where's that moment? Why did that moment happen in the trailer, but then never even came close to happening in the final game? And don't give me this like, oh, well, they were just trying to throw you off the scent. No, that's bullshit. That's not true. That something got cut at some point, and whatever they did was easier than what they were going to do. It's so weird. And like, why have that voice comm that literally just says, oh, by the way, she actually was still on your side, but she was mad that you were still following her, so you had to kill her. It's just, I just don't understand. I don't get it. I don't get it. Moving on from that, so like, what's next for Division 2? So we they had an investor call yesterday with Ubisoft where they talked about a whole bunch of Ubisoft games and things. There was actually quite a bit of news that came from it. Maybe I'll cover it another time. But the main news that was pertinent to Division was that Yves Guillemot, I don't know how to say his name for real, but confirmed that there's more Division content planned for 2021 and 2022. So I've seen some people be like, oh, they're just going to maintain the game. It doesn't mean there's new content. So this confirms things that I've heard but couldn't confirm, had no way to confirm it. I'm under the impression, I mean, if you read the statement, what it specifically says, or I think it is maybe a questionnaire, someone of note tweeted a statement that gave the impression that Massive is a very large studio, and despite Avatar and Star Wars, they can continue working on Division 2 along with partners. And that's a very key word. So my assumption is that they there's going to be a quote-unquote skeleton crew at Massive still working on Division 2 and is going to contract or work with other Ubisoft studios. I don't know who, because I'm under the impression that the ones that we assume, I'm just not going to say much about that. But it's essentially seemed to very much confirm that there is more content coming for 2021 and 2022 for Division 2, which would imply to me a year 3 and 4, which is really interesting. There was also other things just for timeline purposes. We know that the Avatar game is coming in 2022, and I believe the article and the statements lead us to believe that Star Wars won't come until 2023. So if Division 2 content will go until 2022, if they're going to release, 2022, if they're going to release Star Wars in 2023, that very well could suggest a Division 3 type project for like a 2024 or a 2025. But who knows? That's all wild speculation at this point. So my thing is, especially after this final season and after just the way things have been and just kind of how things are going, if this 2021-2022 content is just going to be more seasons and more manhunts, I almost think it would be healthier for the brand for them not to do it. To, you know, if you can't hear me, I'm wiping my hands and just say, hey, you know, the pandemic definitely probably hampered us. You know, we did what we could. We did what we had the resources we were given with Division 2. We feel like we've ended it on a note. I'm not going to say what I think of it, but you know, the Division is well and alive. It will be back one day, but right now it's not. Because if they do, you know, like 8 more seasons and we do 8 more manhunts and they're going to start scraping the bottom of the barrel for who we're going to be going after, I don't want that. And you know, there is a part of me that's like, you know, obviously I want more Division content. I absolutely do. But not like this. Not like this. I was really tolerant of season 1 and 2, because they were basically, they didn't matter, you know, from a lore standpoint, those manhunts. I don't even remember Venus or whatever the first one was. Well, it was like Jupiter and all, and then it was basically just like, these are Keener's legacy. Like, okay, that's fine. And then Hornet magically became alive and was a completely different person than the first game because he got shocked alive. Okay, whatever. It was pretty much inconsequential to the whole game, just like most of the added content. Season three, I genuinely liked the lore side of it. Barton Schaefer, I think, is one of the best characters in this series at this point. And knowing that he's still alive and that I assume that plays into the future of the game in some capacity, that's cool, I guess. I don't know. And I tolerated those first three seasons, lesser so the third, because I liked it. Because I was like, okay, we know that the season four Manhunt is Feilao. So that's going to be dope. It's going to be epic. Like, they're going to find a way, because the way these manhunts go, the whole point is to kill them. So I assumed we were going to kill her, even though now in hindsight, I don't think we had to, and I don't think we should have. But anyways, okay, so we're going to kill her. She's like literally the first main character we meet in the Division in the first game from 2016. Like, if we're going to kill her, there's going to be some cool send off. There's going to be some cool, like, cinematic leading up to it. Or like at the end where we, like, you know, our agent like kneels down over her body and she like says, like, you know, I wasn't a traitor, I promise, but I had to do this. Like, it could have been exactly what we got already in the voice comm, but just give it to us in some like grand fashion. Like, you know, Hornet just dying, whatever, Venus or whatever, Jupiter or whatever she was, just dying. I don't care about that. Schaefer kind of dying, but actually not really, like, fine. I don't really care about those things. But you don't take one of the main and most beloved characters in the game and just be like, yeah, she's dead. Yep. See her body all contorted because the ragdolls are weird in this game. Yep, there she is. That's her legacy. This, you know, 5 years of game development and story and lore development, you know, this beloved character who betrayed us but didn't really. Yep, there she is. There's her limp, dead body and open eyes. Well, open eye, just staring up into the sky. Like, I just don't. I don't know. Where we go from here, you know, it's obvious that the Barton Schaefer still being alive thing matters. I don't know if we're going to turn him. I don't know if we're just like using him for intel. I don't know. I can't tell you. It seems like the natural progression of who's going to be the villain now is Sokolova. We killed her brother. She's in charge of this Black Tusk unit. We've damaged her and her, you know, unit. severely. So I guess that's the next target. I mean, there's still hunters out there, I guess, even though now they growl and grunt and work with Black Tusk, I guess. I don't really know where they were going with that. I do wonder if the Barton still being alive and his cooperation with that hunter may lead us down a path where Barton like knows more about the hunters or something. Unfortunately, it seems like they're going down the road of those hunters being Russian, whatever, just like all the stupid. So in the last part here is just this whole thing, like just how this feels as a fan. You know, as far as I know, I'm still the only one doing a podcast focused on this game. I know some people have either ended their podcasts or, you know, severely or significantly change them, or they only kind of touch on Division. I do not want to use the slap in the face words because I'll get ripped on that because I complain about people saying that a lot. But it's just weird. It's weird to me because there was an option for them to do what they did and for us to be where we are that would make way more sense in this game. It would have made way more sense for her to live and for her to give herself up, us punch her like in the trailer, and then her explain what was going on, and then us fight with her with some skepticism to get out. And then we are where we are right now. We're in the same spot we would have been. And it just feels like lazy. It feels half-assed. In no way, shape, or form want to criticize individual developers or whatever. I'm sure they did what they were told to do and did the best they could with what they had. But I do think that whoever's in charge, because we don't know who it is, or whoever didn't greenlight them to do something more for this really vital character of the franchise, they deserve a little finger wag. You know, like, I really hope that whoever decided to take this down this path isn't patting themselves on the back today saying, I did a great job. We did a good job. This was a satisfying end to this thing. I'm really proud of what we accomplished here. Because from a technical standpoint of completing the content and getting it out during these crazy times, fine. Yeah, that's impressive for sure. Very cool. But when it comes to what it's done to the fan base, what it's going to do to the fan base, what it's done to the franchise itself and the lore, and don't get me started on this anime bullshit that they haven't even like supported, this Resident Evil thing that if you liked it, that's super dope. But like, they spent time on a Resident Evil event and were going to do a Kinley revamp, which they didn't finish. I bet they started it though, to make it a zombie mode. They did that. Think about it. I'm going to get real close to the mic. They added in a zombie hand that hangs from your backpack and just completely whiffed on Phase Finale. And now I understand that the people who make those decisions and do those things, probably not related at all. I understand that the person who made the zombie hand that hangs off your backpack as a charm isn't the one who decides whether or not Phase Mission is satisfying or not. But what I'm saying is that someone made that choice. Someone said, there was someone in charge who said, hey, we could end this season in a logical or satisfying way, but instead we're going to do what we did. And that just goes back to, hey, I really think that whoever has taken over for Julian, whoever is quote unquote leading this game right now, needs to like be the person who talks about it. I really hate how often it's so obvious that in these situations, especially, and this is what I expect to happen, that whoever is in charge just uses Yannick and Hamish and whoever and just throws them under the bus to take the brunt of the annoyance and anger and frustration over this game in general. Every now and then, I think the people who are actually making those decisions need to show their face. I like Julian. I've met him a couple times. I've, DM'd him and had conversations with him about stuff, and I have a lot of respect for him. But people in that position, especially when games have kind of like up and down paths, need to show up more than to announce a new game. So I really think Julian should have been more involved even throughout the process of this game. I mean, for all we know, he hasn't been involved since release of Division 2. It kind of feels it like that way. But even if it wasn't, I understand it's the job of the comm devs to be like that face and to take the brunt. But there comes a time, especially right now with this game and with this franchise, where like, The person and the people actually making the decisions need to be the ones to kind of step up and say, hey, we hear you. We know you didn't like the Faye thing. We're sorry we were limited by this and that, or our vision was for this, and we're trying to move it in a direction that will pay off. Like, I'll hear that. That's great. But I don't think we're going to get that. I don't have faith in this point that we're going to get that. And that sucks. Because if someone like me has lost faith in that, who I, considers, even though I'm relatively critical of the game, I would argue pretty heavily that I'm one of the biggest fanboys, and my Twitter replies have definitely reminded me of that. I don't get it, man. It just feels bad. It just doesn't feel good. This gives more ammunition to the people who already shit on the game to shit on it more. It gives more ammunition to the people who wax poetic about Division 1 every day on Twitter and talk about how much better it was, even though it, in my opinion, objectively it wasn't, and that Division 2 is a better game all around. It just gives people so much more ammunition to just shit on the game or the franchise or the devs or the studio or whatever. And while I don't like that, I think that sucks, there comes a point where you kind of have to step back and put your hands up and be like, at some point, they're kind of asking for some of this critique and some of this nastiness. I will never support or encourage toxicity and things like that. But every now and then you can kind of look at a situation and be like, well, they definitely didn't do things to prevent it. You know, it's just, it's interesting. It's interesting times, man. But I've probably ranted enough about it, at least for now. For content updates, we have no listener questions this time because honestly, I didn't ask and I really didn't look. But we can do that during the next episode. Content updates, I'll try to get back to streaming. We've had a series of unfortunate events where there's been some snow days here. Bay Diesel got a grade 2 sprain on her ankle playing volleyball and essentially isn't mobile or hasn't been, at least for a few days or a week or so. So all the times I typically stream, they've either been home or I've had to not be streaming so I can chase around our wild little one. So streams will return. I'm going to be straight up. I'm not going to play Division 2 until there's something worth playing. I'm not going to stream Control Points. And I mean, maybe I will at some point just because, I'll probably stream Tarkov. If there's any other games that come out, I'm happy to try them out. I just don't like streaming Tarkov because one, it's a game that you don't really play your best when you're not completely focused. And two, I think I average like 3 viewers. And one of those is probably my bot. So you guys obviously don't want to watch that. And that's fine. I get it. It's not everyone's cup of tea. It's fine. So if you have ideas or requests or games you would like to see me check out on stream, I'm open ears. You know, let me know on Twitter, or YouTube, or wherever else you want to. Honestly, if the streams don't seem to be working out or if I just can't make time for them, it would be easier for me to start making videos more often, you know, a couple of videos a week, probably either talking about Division or doing like some Tarkov highlights that I can do off stream, or just talking about gaming in general or things that are coming up or whatever. So, you know, let me know if you're interested in that. I want to interact. I want to do things. You know, I have a handful of patrons that give me money every month to do stuff. And I feel like I'm not really earning that money. I you know, consider this my like main hobby, you know, streaming and trying to interact on Twitter and being a fanboy, I guess, if that's how you would, you know, look at it. So I want to do stuff, but right now it's hard to do things because it doesn't seem like there's, you know, it's hard to do the stuff when we're kind of in the situation that we're in. So yeah, that's where we're going to wrap up this episode. I'm sorry if this feels like a bummer. I hope it's been maybe cathartic for some people. I know it has been for me a little bit. I just don't get it. I really thought that maybe here at the end, they would like give us one good, like uppercut to the heart and be like, oh, this was all worth it. But, honestly, that season 3 finale mission honestly felt like so much better of a, like, oh, wow, that was cool than this. I don't know what happened, and that sucks. So anyways, I am Bond Diesel on Twitch, where I stream a few times a week. Please check out my Twitter at Bond Diesel, or if you only want Division stuff, check out at The Echo Cast. If you want some interesting or neat or cool merchandise, check out for The Echo Cast or Bond Diesel. Check out streamlabs.com/Bond Diesel for my merch store. That's all I have. Until next time. I'm going to go to the hospital.